In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, and cannot, and will not overcome it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We have seen his glory, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, full of grace and truth.
That's so good. The darkness has not and cannot and will not overcome the light of God. That is such good news. Good morning. My name's Mike Souder. I'm one of the pastors here. And we've entitled our four-week Advent series, Life and Light, because Jesus is the only one who can give us the clarity and the strength that we need to live this life the way he intended us to live. Last week, Catherine preached about Zechariah and John, the first Baptist. And today, you get that? Today, we're going to highlight the announcement of the shepherds, if you couldn't tell from the Advent and the video. So I'm going to read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. It's a familiar passage to many of you, but let's see. I can guarantee you God will show you something fresh today, if you want to hear it. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the New International Version. In those days, that is roughly 2 to 4 BC, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a food trough, as Rebecca said, in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. We just have to note, these shepherds were the poor, common, average men of rural Israel. Based on their location, they were probably raising sheep that would be used in temple sacrifice in Jerusalem nearby. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. They always say that. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, as if that weren't enough, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests, which is y'all, by the way. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. God as creator. I love the fact that you never stop creating. You didn't just create the world and that was it, and then you're just hands off. You're constantly creating. And so I pray that you would create new life in this room today that would manifest itself in as many different ways as there are people. Through your written word, God, and through whatever I say, may it be your words, God. May it create life in each of us, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, like many of you, I have heard this story. I remember as a little kid waiting for my dad, hurry up and finish this so we can open gifts. We've heard this story many times, right? A lot of us have. I've preached it a couple times. I even thought about using an old sermon today because I was in a hurry, but God wouldn't let me do that. He gave me other things to talk about. Do not let the familiarity of this thing, you know, cause you to check out. God wants to speak something fresh, I guarantee, to each of us. In this story, we see all kinds of amazing things. We see the humility of God. The infinite, all-powerful God becoming a human born to a poor teenager. We see the first rejection of God in human form, right? No one had room for him. No one had room for God in their house. And we see the extravagance of God announcing the birth of the Savior with a choir of angels lighting up the sky. We also see the strangeness of God. Admittedly, God is super strange to us. It's mysterious. We don't understand God. We see the strangeness of God making the announcement not to priests and prophets, not in Jerusalem, but out in the middle of nowhere to these poor, lonely shepherds living in the fields. So I've thought a lot about that this week. I thought, what is it? The last 2 weeks, I've just been running through my head. What is it? Why did he start with the shepherds? Why start with the shepherds? Well, there have to be several reasons. He may have started his life with the shepherds because he knew he would finish his life as a sheep, as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. He cared about shepherds and sheep. He may have started with the shepherds to make it crystal clear to everyone that the kingdom of God is open to everyone. Right from the beginning, right from the point of his birth, he is putting this upside down kingdom where the poor who will be rich, the last who will be first, the weak will be considered strong. Blessed are you when you're depressed. You know, I mean, it blows our mind. He's putting that kingdom right on display by showing up to the shepherds. But I think the main reason he chose to reveal himself to the shepherds is simply this. I never really thought about this. The shepherds just happened to be in the darkest place around. God is making a point about light and darkness. Otherwise, just show up at lunch. He's making a point. He's illustrating the power of light. And why? Because God hates the dark. You know, the dark was one of the plagues, if you remember, in Exodus. God hates the dark. Maybe this is where our kids get the fear of the darkness from. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And he expects us to feel the same way. Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, the sin, the brokenness of the world, but rather expose them. He hates the dark because darkness is what? Dark. What is darkness but just the absence of light, right? John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, sin, fear, chronic brokenness, but will have the light of life. The point is this. There is no place or person, no situation or circumstance that is too dark for God to enlighten it. Listen, you know, your situation is probably darker than I know, but God has seen and brought light to far worse. That's what he does. That's his job. We struggle to believe that because each of us mostly suffers in the dark, alone. Most of the suffering and the darkness we experience, fear, addiction, darkness manifests itself in all kinds of ways. Hopelessness, anxiety, shame, confusion, just to name a few. But none of those are too dark for God to overcome. We think our world is a mess, which it is, but it may help us to remember the world has always been dark. The world has always been a mess. Actually, at the time of Christ's birth, it was actually far worse than it is today. And the solution is the same today as it was then, Jesus, the only life and light and hope for the world. He's the only thing custom designed to overcome your specific darkness. He has custom designed himself to fit your darkness, your addiction. So let's look a little bit at the shepherd's experience. Let's look a little bit closer at theirs. I'm so excited about this. What did this experience with light and this infant baby Jesus, what did that do to the shepherds? Think about this with me for a minute. It overcame their fears. It gave them a purpose. And it filled them with deep joy. I didn't intend for there to be three. I was just reading it, and God's like, number one, number two, number three. It overcame their fear. It gave them purpose, and it filled them with deep joy. And do we not all need all three of those? Come on. And this is the other interesting thing. The transformation that they experienced in like 24 hours or less is this little picture of the transformation that occurs in our life over 10, 20, 50, 70 years. It's a snapshot of the Christian life. Okay, so first of all, the light of God turned their fear into boldness. Verse 9 says, and they were terrified. You know, it's no small thing for a shepherd to be terrified. These guys could sleep anywhere. They could eat whatever. They could kill wolves with their bare hands, or, well, without a shotgun anyway. They could live out in the fields, alone, in all kinds of terrible weather. The point being, these were not the type of people who were easily terrified. So when the angel, note the one angel, appears and they are defined as being terrified, what would have happened to the rest of us? And yet, the next thing we know, what does it say? The next thing we know, they're hurrying off to Bethlehem. Think about this for a second, okay? Think about what they're wearing. Think about what they smell like. When was the last time they were in downtown Bethlehem with the other, you know, fancy people? One minute, they're in the fields terrified, and the next minute, they're hurrying into town. Should they not have been worried about what people would have thought of them? They're not people. They're shepherds who live in the fields. And now they're going into town in the middle of the night like, oh, hey, yeah, we were out in the fields there, and there were like a million angels that told us to come in here and look for a baby. You seen a baby in a hay manger here anywhere? This is what they're doing. They should have been afraid of all types of criticism. And yet it doesn't sound like they were. Why? They didn't care at all. The light shined in their darkness. And their fear, their doubt, their insecurities were obliterated. That's what the light of God does. It gives you incredible boldness. It's a paradox. The same light that terrified them is the same light that gave them incredible boldness. It's one of the great paradoxes of life. And it points to the truth that the more you fear God, the less you will fear anyone or anything else. It's true. Ed Welch, in his book, When People Are Big and God Is Small, which you might want to read, by the way, says, when a heart is being filled with the greatness of God, there is less room for the question, what are people going to think of me? If you've ever walked among giant redwoods, you will never be overwhelmed by the size of a dogwood tree. Or if you've been through a hurricane, a spring rain is nothing to fear. If you've been in the presence of the Almighty God, everything that once controlled you suddenly has less power. I love that. And I have experienced some of that, and I know a lot of y'all have too. For the shepherds, their experience with the angels and then with the infant God, you could say, this fear obliterated every other fear. And that same boldness is available to all of you if you'll just turn your face towards God. I had this other cool thought yesterday. Did you know that being in the sun gives you vitamin D? Did you know that? And what does vitamin D do? It gives you strong bones. Now, is that a coincidence? Or is God like in our DNA giving our bodies an actual illustration that when we get in the presence of the physical sun, our bodies are strong? Did you also know, and I don't have time to go into this, but in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, it says, in the end of all things, when the new heaven comes, there's no longer a physical burning sun. Because why? Jesus himself will be the permanent light. How crazy is that? When it comes to worrying about your kids, which we all do, worrying about your health, worrying about your retirement, worrying about this country, worrying about everything we can possibly imagine, you don't need more strategies. You need more fear of God. We need to be in the presence of God. It's awe. It is terror, by the way. But it is awe. It makes everything else pale in comparison. It makes us live every day with like, what is he going to do next? All right, so back to our story. The shepherds march right into town, leaving their sheep behind. And this is the second point. Well, band, y'all can come up here when you're ready. This is the second point. It gave them a whole new purpose for life, a whole new purpose. What does it say the shepherds did? They hurried off, they found the child, and then what did they do? They spread the word. They told everybody what they knew. This is like Donna taking gifts to her neighbors. I got something good. You might as well know about it too. God took the most average people of the day, people like all of us here, and he made them street preachers overnight, instantly. They didn't need any training. They didn't need to have the Bible memorized. They didn't need to have their act all cleaned up. They stunk when they went into town, I'm telling you. They just needed the awe of God. Seeing this fresh, here's the other thing. They saw this fresh, vulnerable, new Messiah. And that was enough. What did Jesus do for them? Think about that. What did Jesus do for them when they got there? Nothing. But in just seeing his presence, they knew all of the potential of what the Messiah was going to do. I can't wait to one day meet these guys and ask them, what happened after that? What was the rest of the week like? What did you do? Aren't you curious? No doubt. They probably kept on shepherding. there is no such thing as being in full-time ministry. Just because there's no such thing as being a part-time Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. So if you're a Christian, you're a full-time Christian, which makes you in full-time ministry, whether it's at JMU or an auctions or at Riddleberger or at the hospital or in the schools or out laying brick all day, out in a farm, whatever you're doing, you're in full-time ministry because you're a full-time Christian. So the cool thing is God will help you find ways to take his light, his life, and give it to people in a way they can understand it. Where are we? So keep doing what you do for your income, but know that you were created for a massive, broad purpose. Catherine talked about this last week. We all have a calling, and that is to reflect the goodness of God, like the moon does. The moon doesn't actually produce light. It just reflects the real light. Nothing gives you purpose. Nothing gives you like a real reason to live your life wide open than knowing that you're loved, uniquely, specifically loved by the creator of it all. And it doesn't have to be a one-time thing. To experience the presence of God is not just this thing that happened at camp when you were 14 or on some retreat or in some marriage encounter and it was awesome. You can experience the presence of God anytime you want to. Right before Jesus left for heaven, he said, I have to go. If I don't go, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be the one who's going to speak to you all day long, all the time, anytime you want. It's a daily thing. God has come to earth in the form of Jesus to announce that we all have a new purpose in life, and that is to spread the word that he is a good God and that he loves you and he doesn't hate you and he's come to forgive you. And so finally, the result of all that is this. It filled them with deep joy, which caused them to worship. The promise of the angel came true. This is going to cause great joy for all people. And sure enough, verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And this is honestly, this is our ultimate purpose in life, and that is to worship God. That's what we do forever, in eternity. And that is possible to experience every day, to live with this awareness that God has come to earth for you. A Savior has come to earth to fix your completely broken life. And that's why we have the responsibility to worship him. I'm going to show a little clip. And this is from this is the only Christmas movie I watch every year. It's A Wonderful Life. So in the story, It's A Wonderful Life, George Bailey is kind of depressed about his blah, mediocre life, right? And he has this experience where he is awakened to the common joys of life and really awakened to God. Really, it's what it is. He's awakened to the presence of God. And so at the clip I'm going to show, he's at the low point. He's super depressed. He's lost everything in his dream, and he's calling out for his angel. And I want you to watch that as he goes from the darkest moment in his life to this great moment, it happens in part because he's calling out to God. So watch this with me, if you would.
Clarence, Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
Hey, George! George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You... George. Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you...
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's petals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Merry! Yay!
Oh, man. I love that. Nothing else had changed in his life. He still had the same job, same everything. But he now had this presence of God in his life, which completely changed him forever. God wants to give you a second, third, 103rd chance. And all you have to do is turn to his light and ask him for help. Whatever dark situation you're in, whatever dark circumstance you're dealing with, whatever thing the enemy is telling you, yeah, but that one's not going to work. It's not true. God is here to shine his light on it. So we're going to close with a song we sang earlier, a song that's full of questions. Who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? And I just want to encourage you. This is going to be our primary ministry thing today. God is going to minister to each of you individually wherever you are. Sing if you want. But if you can't sing because something is too dark, ask God your own question. Ask God to speak to that dark place. And he will. And then I'll close us after a little bit here. He's the only one that's going to bring light to whatever that dark deal is in your life. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, he used this short, old, kind of fat guy as this angel. He'll use whatever he needs to use. He'll speak through you to help someone else. But it's up to you to turn your face towards him. So we're going to close now. Can we have ministry team come forward to offer prayer? If there's anything at all we can pray for you for, please come forward. If you don't even know what I'm talking about and you want someone to guide you into starting this life with God, please don't leave here without letting us pray for you. A couple other things that need to happen now. On your way out, load up with gifts to give to your friends, neighbors, invite them to church. Go back to that corner for the Easter musical meeting, starts immediately after this. And for the rest of you, I know this is interesting, please stack every chair into 7. Oh, sorry, that's after 2nd. Sorry. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't stack the chairs. That's after next service. Oh, my. Come back again. Let's pray. God, you have been so incredibly good to us. God, would you help us to live lives that honor you? God, would you help us to overcome every area of darkness in our life? Would you help us to walk every day with purpose? Would you fill us with joy when we come to your presence so we would become addicted to that and not to everything else? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Love you all. Have a great day.